Good morning. Good to have you here today as we gather for worship. It is a special day. We will be seeing a video later in the service as part of our World Mission Offering promotion. But it's good to have you here today. I want to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. If you're visiting here, we extend a special welcome to you. If it is your first time here, we ask that you fill a welcome card out that you'll find in the pew rack in front of you. We invite you to place that card in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. On the back page of the bulletin is the calendar for this week, and you will note that it is a busy day in the extended life of the congregation, that the mission board is meeting after the service today. There will be a memorial service for the Reverend B. Joy Alderman at First Baptist Wakefield at 3 this afternoon. And at 5 o'clock, the Judson Association is having their fall meeting at House of Hope in Lynn. Do please note that there will be no Bible study this coming Tuesday, but next Sunday I do want to call your attention that there will be a special business meeting of the congregation immediately after the service here in the sanctuary next Sunday, October 29th. The purpose is to receive and act on a request from the property trustees for emergency funding for the parish house roof, and also to receive an update, if not the covenant to vote on, for the First Baptist Nepali Church and our covenant and agreement with them and working with them as becoming separate congregations, but sisters in some ministry ways. So that is next Sunday after the worship service. Several other announcements I want to mention this morning. Where to start? Mark and Dottie Foxen are going to be at the coffee hour table today, and also that they will be available to receive any funds for those that pledged gifts towards their great-grandson Jake's participation in the Autism Speaks walk last Sunday. And so if you've brought your money, that you may see Mark or Dottie after the service. Also, if you didn't have an opportunity to pledge, but you'd like to, I'm sure they would be glad to take your name and or your money for that purpose as well today. Yesterday, the American Baptist Women's Ministries of this church met and had a very nice meeting, and several different things were discussed and plans for the coming year. One of the things that the women are collecting right now are various toiletries and items of clothing that a sister American Baptist woman in one of our American Baptist churches in Massachusetts is collecting for her great nephew. That he does once a year, he goes into Boston to the homeless and distributes these items. And there is a list of items on the bulletin board, the mission board, near the nursery in Judson Chapel. If you'd like to take a peek after the service to look at some items, Marilyn will be going the week of October 29th, so you basically have one more week to bring any items in. Basically, some toiletry, health and beauty aids, and some clothing. So if you want to check that out and bring any items in, we would appreciate that. Also, there is the White Cross request list out on one of the desks during coffee hour, and it is quite an extensive list. We're being challenged this time to fulfill some of those requests, but I encourage you to look that over. All donations are asked to be in by the first Sunday in December. Some of those items are Christmas gifts that will be being distributed to individuals. And White Cross is an over and above way of supporting our missionaries of tangible things that they don't always have enough money to purchase in their ministry. But it's one way that the American Baptist women and the American Baptist churches as a whole can reach out and tangibly help some of our missionaries. So I encourage you to look at that list and sign up for any of those items and bring them back in. On November 19th, the Refugee Immigration Ministry is going to be having their international dinner in Watertown, and the tickets are $35, which is a discount if you purchase by the 15th of November. You can contact Marilyn Glover if you'd like more information about that RIM International Dinner. The final thing is that we are receiving the World Mission Offering this month, and we will be watching a video today, and there also is an insert in your bulletin that talks a little bit more about the video we're going to be seeing today and the video we're going to watch next week as well. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 703 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading a variety of verses from both the Old and New Testaments as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, so let us read responsively from God's holy word. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Proclaim his salvation day after day. His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Our opening hymn this morning is number 702 in the blue hymnal, "Christ for the World We Sing." Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Let us pray. Holy God, we come before you with awe, for you are great in love and in power. You call us to carry out your mission of love to the world. Assure us of your continuing presence as we worship and as we share the risk and challenge of living our faith. Help us to serve as faithful followers of Jesus. It is in his name that we ask this. We now pray as he taught, as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned earlier, we will be watching the video today. We're going to be watching the fourth video on economic development. So we're traveling to Chile today and seeing and hearing about and learning about how some of our American Baptist mission work is being done in that country. So, Chandru.
It's a beautiful country in South America. It's a very long country from north to south. It has a lot of volcanoes, it has a lot of lakes, and of course the Pacific Ocean in the west. Chile has been very proud because they were able to get rid of a dictatorship with no violence at all. They were able to change to a republic government. That's something that brings a lot of pride to the Chileans.
We're in Temuco because this is the area of Chile where the majority of the Mapuche live. It's also ranked as a region with the highest poverty rate.
Well, it has been a long struggle in most Latin American countries. It has been taken by the mestizo race that was formed by the Spanish. They wanted to take the land that they had.
El pueblo mapuche en nuestra zona es un pueblo que ha estado antes de que llegara la cultura occidental o los españoles. Los mapuches habitaban la región de la Araucanía, que le llama ahora, parte de la cordillera de los Andes y parte de Argentina. Nacional es una organización que está presente prácticamente en todo el territorio de Chile y nuestros objetivos son equipar y ayudar a las iglesias bautistas nacionales. Eso hemos estado trabajando en este tiempo. Tenemos un eslogan que dice cada creyente o misionero, llevar los valores de Jesús, que salgamos de las cuatro paredes de la iglesia o del templo y vamos más allá.
The Baptist Convention in Chile saw the need to empower the Mapuches, but they did not have the resources. They asked international ministries, would you be able to help us?
What we do in economic development will vary tremendously from place to place. We go to communities to walk alongside them in the way of love that responds to the needs that they identify and makes use of the resources, the assets that are already present.
We spent the first year or two simply building relationships and asking what life is like here for people, the culture, the language, before we began even proposing or dreaming of certain details.
What Dwight and I both sensed was a call to accompany the poor, to walk alongside the poor, to support them, and see what we could do to help them find the path that God had for their lives.
Barb was teaching out of Exodus 35, where Moses is called by God to call all the people in whom God had put the gift of weaving. A woman named Carolina, she at that time was in her 60s, a revered, much loved grandmother, always making weavings. And Carolina simply said, I've been in the church all my life, but I can't read or write, and I depend on my pastor, my husband, the church to tell me what the Bible says. And I want to know why nobody has ever told me that my weavings are a gift from God. Right there, Barb and I knew that we had our mission statement, if you will.
Aquí han pasado casos en la comunidad que han habido señoras que el marido no trae para la casa y entonces ellas han tenido que salir a pedir entre los vecinos. Pues ya son casos que ya han pasado, mujeres acá a lo mejor ellas no se acuerdan, la hermana Sara o la Camila, que esa señora para poder vivir salían a pedir. Un poquito de cosa por aquí, otro poquito de cosa de por allá, porque los hombres recibían su plata y se iban a tomar. Y aprendí sola.
Y ahora es como experta en el tejido y el teñido también.
Teñido también, y lado también.
Este es el tejido que hizo la...
Eso es mi tejido.
La hermana Torres recién lo hizo.
Sí.
Wow, no, esto sí es muy importante, muy impresionante.
Sí, porque ya mi hija ella está hilando.
Sí, sí, sí.
Y ella tiene su hijo que yo sé que le ha ayudado bastante porque ella ha sido su monedita. Entonces esto ayuda bastante a la vida familiar porque de repente los esposos están sin trabajo. La vida es complicada, así que tiene muchas vueltas.
Sí, sí,
entonces,
sí, sí.
Lo que hacemos, los trabajos que hacemos, los hilados, ya sea hilado, tejido o lo que sea, que ayude para la casa es bueno.
Sí, sí. ¿Cuántos años hemos estado juntos?
Digamos que 12.
¿Cómo sabemos que 12 años? ¿Ah? Cuéntame.
tenemos el calendario chico.
Sí, el calendario chico. ¿Y cómo se llama el calendario chico?
William.
El William. William es el calendario chico porque ¿cuántas veces tenía William cuando
Yo cuando yo lo conocí, él tenía un año 4 meses, pero ya lo habíamos conocido antes.
Tomás is a pastor in a rural town, fairly isolated town where there's not a lot of economic opportunity. So one day he came to me and said, could I take beekeeping lessons and training? I rather reluctantly said, yeah, because my priority was working with Mapuche. But as it turned out, he became my main partner in teaching and training Mapuche beekeepers. And actually his knowledge of beekeeping surpasses mine.
Se orientan por su casa, hacen un triángulo, el sol, donde está su alimento y su casa.
Yeah. And inside the hive, they can do a dance and signal to the bees in which direction is the current flow of nectar. That's one of the mysteries, the glories of God's creation. Yeah, so a lot of times at the entrance to each hive, there's a guard bee that can detect if the bee is not from that hive. And they can also defend themselves from yellow jackets. Beekeeping is a vocation that's very difficult. It's not easy. And to be able to master a discipline, a craft, a practice like beekeeping raises people's dignity. They realize that I know something, I'm good at something, I can produce income, but I can take care of creation at the same time and enjoy it. So economic development for me is about dignity, first of all, and helping people out of that dignity realize that they can produce, become productive stewards of God's creation.
And so when we talk about community development, we're talking about how incarnational the gospel can be, to be like Christ and to know what would Jesus do.
12 years ago now, I was invited to go speak at a women's development conference. And so I decided to do a bit of research. I saw that one of the most important factors in a country's economic development is its teenage pregnancy rate. When you're talking about 11 and 12 and 13 year old girls having babies, that is an indication of abuse and neglect. And I felt that God was telling me at that time that we had to set up some sort of an opportunity for the girls who were in the most vulnerable communities in order to confront and avoid the challenges to their development.
I'm excited about what Barb is doing with the girls' clubs. Her passion for the formation of girls and young women is really ultimately about their formation in Christ, which is to say, discipleship.
So the curriculum is based on the seven classical Christian virtues: faith, hope, and love, courage, prudence, temperance, and justice. And we started off with a lesson that says, ¿Dónde está mi corazón? Where is my heart? What is my heart?
Y también las niñas son, hay mucha envidia entre las niñas. Y yo les he enseñado que la envidia no es buena, porque nos enferma nuestro corazoncito. ¿Mm? Ustedes, yo siempre les digo, son unas hijas del Señor y son lindas y no debemos tener envidia en nuestro corazón, porque la envidia nos enferma el espíritu.
¿Mm? ¿Qué es tu promedio?
Sí, por...
¿En serio? ¿Y qué es lo que tú quieres estudiar después?
Kinesiología.
¿En serio? Y tú eres muy firme en esto, ¿cierto?
Sí.
Wow, tú también.
What Barb is doing with the Girls Club is a way of putting in the hands of the National Convention of Chile tools. Here's an effective tool that you can use to disciple young girls. Beekeeping, what it's about is not just beekeeping. It's about leadership development. It's about economic development. It's about spiritual formation as well, creating dignity and productivity in people and saying you can use this as an entrance into other communities to evangelize other communities. For many reasons, the World Mission Offering is important. First of all, encourage and support and make possible long-term incarnational missionary presence. That is, missionaries who live in the culture, are immersed in the local culture, and spend years developing relationships, stimulating our partners to good works, equipping them with the tools, with the knowledge, with experiences for them to thrive in mission as well. Churches that give to the World Mission Offering can know that they have a relationship with that missionary, that they have a relationship also with the people that they serve. I like the way Paul puts it in Colossians, pray for us that we can speak clearly and proclaim clearly the mystery of Christ, and helping them find the open doors to ministry where they can themselves proclaim and share Christ.
An unbelieving man came to Jesus and said, my daughter is sick, she's dying, and I need you to come help her. And it's this amazing story about how even Jesus, by the time he even got to the house, everyone looked at him, and the scriptures say they laughed, and they said, why did you show up now? You're too late. The little girl is dead. All hope is gone. And Jesus looked at them, and he ordered them all out of the house. And he breathed life into that little girl. And he said, Talita kum, which means, little girl, get up. And she rose up. And I believe of all the instances in Jesus' ministry, that one moment was selected tells us something very powerful. That hope is not gone until Jesus says hope is gone. The story is not over until Jesus says the story is over. And when we look into communities, we can even say impoverished communities, disenfranchised communities, vulnerable communities, it is a temptation even for the hardiest of us to say the story is over, all hope is gone, the little girl is dead. I believe that Jesus is saying to us, I will tell you when her story is over. And she is valuable to me. And she has a purpose. She has a place in this world. And you will take her, you will feed her, you will give her water, you will accompany her and give her what she needs. That is what you will do if you love me.
The World Mission Offering, a way that we can help our American Baptist missionaries who are reaching out to people who are hopeless because they are impoverished, because they are disenfranchised. We can help to bring hope through our prayers and through our gifts. We are receiving the World Mission Offering this month. If you've not made a gift, there are envelopes in the pews today, or if you received a letter at home and haven't brought your envelope in, I encourage you to do that next Sunday. Our goal is $800. We've only had one Sunday of promotion so far, and I don't think we've received $100 yet. So we have some work to do. But to support the Bollocks, but that's just one site that we are ministering all around this world, bringing hope to people that don't have much hope, people who are living in darkness but need to see the light of Christ. And we have an opportunity of doing that through this offering. So I encourage you to pray for our missionaries. There are continue to be prayer guides in the back if you would like to take one home, a 60-day prayer guide about missions. I encourage you to do that and to give generously. Thank you. As we come to a time of prayer this morning, we want to keep Eleanor Covey in prayer today. Eleanor is moving to Connecticut, I believe, by the end of this month, so very soon. This probably is going to be your last Sunday maybe with us. So we want to bid you Godspeed and best wishes as she's going to be moving to Connecticut to be staying with a nephew. And so we want to, you know, send prayers with Eleanor today. It's a sad time, but it's a happy time too. So we're glad that things have worked out for you. And you've been planning this for several months, and now it's happening. So, but we want to keep Eleanor in our prayers. And Cindy Huddy is here today. It's good to see Cindy back. Cindy's been able to be to Bible study, but hasn't been able to be at worship yet. So it's good to have Cindy back with us. Also, we want to continue to remember Paul Patrie and Claire Stevens and May Upperman in our prayers. And we want to keep David and Virginia Williams in our prayers. As far as I know, they are on their way to their winter home in Florida now, so that we want to keep them in prayer as they are traveling and setting up home for the next 6 months down south, and we look forward to seeing them next spring. Do you have any requests for prayer you'd like to share with the church family this morning? Okay. So we'll keep your sister Rose in prayer as she's traveling to Texas. Okay, so Delphine's daughter and your sister, Beth, continues to undergo chemotherapy, so we want to keep her in prayer today as well. Stephen. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay. Steve's friend Kathy lost a family member in New York, and so we want to keep her family in prayer today. Okay, so you are returning to your home in England, and you're going to have surgery, and you're asking for prayers for the surgery that you're on your back. So we want to keep you in prayer as you're traveling, and that you'll be not too too uncomfortable, but also that the surgery will be successful, and that you'll have a better back and a stronger back. Cindy. Oh yes, I forgot to add that. Yeah, so we want to keep Chuck's mom in prayer that she's in the hospital and she's almost 98, almost 99, excuse me. Or she'll be 99 in December. So so we want to keep, and her name's Dorothy, is that correct? Okay, so Dorothy Huddy, we want to keep in prayer today as she's hospitalized with pneumonia in Hawaii. So we want to keep her in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we are grateful for being able to come to your house this day to worship you. For some of us, may have traveled very short distances, and others may have traveled quite a long journey to get here today. But Lord, we just are so grateful to be able to be together, to be this body of Christ in this moment, worshiping you, offering you praise and glory, opening our hearts to you in conversation and prayer. And also, Lord, sitting in waiting for you to respond to us. So often our prayers seem to be a laundry list of items, but then we don't pause and let you get a word in, that we tend to monopolize the conversation. So Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we have to be quiet for a moment, to reflect, to speak to you in private, to speak to you corporately, and also to listen. Sometimes, Lord, we're better speakers than we are listeners. And forgive us when we do that. Forgive us when we feel that we know what is right and what is best for us and go off on our own, departing from what you may have dreamed for us. But Lord, we thank you that you're always there. You are a constant presence, always ready to welcome us home and say, come. Come and be part of my family again. Lord, we're conscious of so many changes that take place in our lives, that we're so grateful that you are a constant in our lives, that we can, whatever changes take place in our days, that you are there for us, always there, always awake, always on duty for us. And we thank you for that, O God. Lord, as people are in transition today, we pray for those who are traveling. We pray for others who are relocating. And just pray that they may sense your presence in this time of transition for them. Lord, we pray for those who are ill and injured, those who are awaiting treatments or undergoing treatments, and others that are awaiting surgeries, and others who are recuperating, oh God, and some are in rehab, and others have graduated from that stage of recovery. And Lord, wherever folks are in their healing process, we just pray that your spirit will continue to be with them, to be a spirit of encouragement, a spirit of strength. And Lord, we also pray this day for those who are in mourning, those who are missing a loved one through death. Lord, we just pray that your spirit of comfort and peace may be with those who are left behind. They may have good memories. They may be shared with others. There may be a collective remembrance may be formed of the one that has died. But Lord, we live as people who have hope, because Jesus has promised us that life does not end at the moment of death for those who follow him. And Lord, we grasp onto that, especially in moments of trial and temptation and difficulty in our lives. We grasp onto the promise of Jesus that his spirit is always with us and that there is something better to come. Lord, we also lift up our international missionaries today, those who are serving around the world on our behalf, sharing your love, helping others to not only just have a handout, but to learn how to do something that is productive. And as we've seen in the video today, that is helping to develop communities and sustain economies and communities. Lord, we thank you because that is helping to stabilize those areas. And Lord, we just pray for the missionaries that are serving on our behalf today. We pray that our prayers and our gifts may go to sustain them and support them in their vital ministry. And Lord, we now lift all of these things up to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. have an opportunity to continue in our worship as we present our tithes and our gifts as the ushers receive the morning offering. Together. Lord, we praise you with our voices through prayer and singing. We also praise you with these gifts and ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. Thank you. Reverend Doreen Parker Freeman will be reading the scripture today.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. And this one is from the New International Version. 6 days after the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. May the Lord bless our reading of that scripture.
Thank you, Doreen. Let's pray together. Lord God, as we have read and heard from your holy word this morning, another encounter of Jesus at a meal, and something surprising happens. In a dialogue between Jesus and one of his 12 disciples that seems out of the ordinary. The Lord, it just shows that how human even the disciples and the closest followers of Jesus were. And what Mary had done for Jesus, we recognize, and we may be able to see some of the point that Judas was trying to say, that it was very extravagant in what she did. But Lord, we know that you are worth all extravagance. We pray today, O God, that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you, that this passage of your holy word may be opened to us with a greater understanding that will help us in our daily living. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Waste not, want not. This proverbial saying was first recorded in 1772, but it had an earlier from 1576, an earlier version which was more alliterative, and that said, willful waste makes woeful want. In other words, if we don't waste what we have, we'll still have it in the future and will not lack or want it. People who lived through the Great Depression took that saying to heart, where everything was repurposed until functionality was exhausted. And this practice has been continued by many in the next generations, even when times are not as desperate. But one area where waste has dramatically changed the way we do things is in the computer field. Many of us may remember a time when with life before computers. And even as they began to become not popular in the common sense, but being used by businesses, we remember how large mainframe computers were. They filled a room or multiple rooms of machinery in order for a computer to work. And now we carry them around in our pockets. They've become so small. But in the 1970s, while the cost of computing power was still high, an engineer at Xerox decided to do what one observer called wasting transistors. Instead of reserving the pricey power of the computers at his disposal for valuable functions such as information processing, he began using it for frivolous stuff, such as drawing cartoons on the screen. He didn't have enough work to do. That was the problem. But he used this, started doing that. And those cartoons and other on-screen things that he created, such as pointers and arrows and windows, eventually became the first graphical interfaces. And that gave life to the Macintosh computer. And the Mac, in turn, inspired similar changes in other personal computers. In other words, by wasting computer power, that engineer made computers simple enough for the common person to use. And then the public changed things even further by thinking of new applications for the computer. Writing in Wired magazine about this phenomenon, editor-in-chief Chris Anderson said, "This is the power of waste. When scarce resources become abundant, smart people treat them differently, exploiting them rather than conserving them. It feels wrong, but done right, it can change the world. But before that can happen, while the resource is still scarce, somebody has to use it in an extravagantly wasteful way." And this leads to today's scripture. Jesus, in the last days of his earthly life, is at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, sitting at the table. Mary takes, and it's interesting, the New International Version says a pint. Other translations say a pound, so a quantity of costly perfume made of pure nard, which was fragrant and with imported oil. And we soon learn from this reading, from Judas's remark, that the jar could have been sold for 300 denarii, or which is nearly a year's pay for a working person. And that Mary wastes it, pouring it on Jesus' feet. That was Judas's comment. It was common in those days to anoint the head of a guest as a sign of respect. But in those cases, only a few drops of oil would normally be used. The pouring of lavish amounts of oil, again, on the head was the kind of anointing that was considered sacred. It was usually reserved for designating someone as a king or a priest. The anointing marked that person for divine service. It's interesting to note that the word anointed in English is the equivalent to the Hebrew word Mashiach, or our English Messiah, and the Greek word Christos, or Christ. So while we have no way of knowing exactly what Mary was thinking, her action expresses more than simple respect for Jesus. It seems to express her conviction that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one, the one that they were waiting for. But perhaps she poured the oil on his feet and not on his head, because she did not consider herself worthy enough to anoint his head. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, is also at the table, and he sees Mary's action as neither a sign of respect for Jesus nor a declaration of his messiahship. He sees only waste and rudely questions why the perfume was not sold and the money given to the poor. Jesus, however, rises to Mary's defense, saying her act is for the day of my burial. Anointing the dead was a common burial practice at that time. But Jesus, who seems to know what was coming up in his life, accepted this anointing as an act before the fact, being anointed before he died. And as far as Jesus is concerned, Mary's gift is one of extravagant love, not of wasted perfume. Jesus also responds to Judas's statement that the poor could have benefited from the sale of the ointment. Jesus' remark that there are always poor people to be helped. But the undertone of that comment is as if he was saying to himself, if not out loud to Judas, yes, this perfume could have been sold and the money given to the poor, but would it have? If you had an extra 300 denarii in your hands right now, Judas, would you give it to the poor? Is that really where it would end up? Note that John, the gospel writer, the narrator of this story, impugns Judas's character and motives, describing him as a thief. But Jesus does not go there. He challenges only Judas's assumption that the perfume and Mary's act was wasted. In that regard, Jesus was likely aware that most people resist waste. That's true yet today. In fact, we seem almost hardwired to try and save things and repurpose things and not to waste things. We give a child an expensive toy for Christmas, and he has a wonderful time playing with the box that the toy came in. Rather than rejoicing in the child's pleasure, we're bothered that the toy itself is unloved. What a waste, we think. Even if we don't say it out loud, we think it. We could have just brought him an empty box, and we'd have the same outcome. We have similar reactions to leftover food and to clothing being thrown in the washer after only having been worn for an hour. Some of us have trouble even discarding items that are meant to be disposable after one use. Now, I'm not here to try to encourage waste at all, but the story of Mary, who anointed Jesus, suggests that we may need to rethink what extravagances are really wasteful. For example, we hear about a beautiful, costly cathedral being built somewhere and think, what a waste, spending all that money in that city where there are so many poor people who need houses. You consider planning a romantic getaway with your spouse, but then you think, no, there are too many other things we need the money for. We hear about some exceptionally talented young adult who has potential and opportunities in many fields, but who decides to work at an inner city mission. And we think, what a waste of all that talent. We know of an attractive, smart, genial person who has chosen to remain single or who marries but chooses to not have children. And we think, too bad. He would have made such a good parent. We learn of a young person who's been offered a full scholarship to a prestigious university, but she decides to go instead to a local college where she has no financial aid, but so she can live at home with her mother, who's ill and has no other family. In the end, the story of Mary with the perfume calls us to think broadly about that which we are quick to label wasted, whether it's wasted time, wasted effort, wasted talent, wasted money, wasted resources, wasted commitment, or wasted life. Some of those things may indeed be true squanderings, but we can't always be sure. Waste, perhaps, can only be rightly identified based on the final outcome. Sometimes what is wasted changes the world, or at least us, for the better. Mary, the woman with the ointment in today's scripture, reminds us that some of those things we're quick to call wasted surely are not. Instead, they're wonderful gifts of great extravagance, poured on us by love itself. With all the challenges that we face in our own country, Some people see supporting international mission work to be a waste. Jesus tells his followers to go into all the world to help others, those who need food, clothing, and companionship, and to tell them about my love for them. As we witnessed through this morning's World Mission Offering video, we as American Baptists are reaching out to the poor in Chile through the ministries of Dwight and Barbara Bullock as they work in economic and community development. They are our hands, our feet, our voices to the Mapuche people in southern Chile, and they are making a difference in that part of the world. Jesus said there will always be people who are poor, and the Bible makes it clear that we are called to help those in need. Sometimes we can do it by ourselves, but often we are able to make a greater impact if we combine our resources. The World Mission Offering is one way of reaching out to the poor in our world. And if we ever consider this a waste of time or money, we need to remember the power of waste. Sometimes it is only through wasted resources that we can change the world. Let's pray together. Lord, you have called us to be agents of change, to use whatever talents and gifts and blessings that we have. Lord, sometimes we are very critical of ourselves and others and consider looking especially at others of things to be wasteful. But Lord, we recognize that in the end, things that might be wasted come out to have great power and bring about good. And Lord, we pray that we may be wise stewards of all that we have been given, that we may share your love, especially with those who are poor today, that through the World Mission Offering, through our individual acts of words and deeds, that we may reach out to others, that we may have love that is so extravagant that someone might look at us and say, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your money. But we know that you have called us in that waste to reach out to others. Help us, O God, to reach out to those who are poor through your love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is printed as an insert in the bulletin today, and it is When Mary Poured a Rich Perfume.
Thank you.
As we leave today, we are aware that we go into a world that understands only I and me, that understands only the need to hoard and to protect. We go into a world that needs to understand a God of extravagant generosity, a generosity so full and complete that it is wasteful. Remember that Jesus will stand up and defend us in our wasteful generosity when it is done in his name and for his purpose. Go forth to be generously wasteful in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.